We're here today to interview Mr. John Pavlik. Mr. John Pavlik is a veteran of World War I. John, what is your age?
Right now my age is 89, and I will be 90 in August the 2nd. I enlisted at the age of 16, not quite 16, but I said that I was 18, and they accepted that.
Okay, John, and what outfit did you serve in while you were in the Armed Forces?
I enlisted in the Wisconsin National Guards, and they were starting a new ambulance company, which was motorized. Before that, we had horses and mules to draw the ambulance wagons. And this seemed like a very interesting position to get into, since automobiles were first coming into being. And so I enlisted in the motorized ambulance company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Got my basic training at the Goldsmith Building, squads right and left, and the first aid and so forth. Later on, when our vehicles came, they were stationed at Whitefish Bay, and we were there for a week, camping in pup tents, getting used to the pup tents and the vehicles. And then we drove from Whitefish Bay to Madison. That was an all-day ride, and stayed in Camp Randall overnight. And next morning we went to Camp Douglas and got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, the dates that you served,
My date that I served was, I enlisted on April 6, 1917. I beg your pardon, I enlisted on April 3, 1917, and of course the war was declared on April 6, 1917. And I was discharged 1919 on the 31st of, well, the 30th of May in 1919.
And you did serve overseas with the...
Yes, we... when we went to Waco, Texas for training from Camp Douglas, the Wisconsin National Guards and the Michigan National Guards were combined to make up a division. And our division was numbered the 32nd Division. We have the red arrow as an insignia, indicating that all the lines, the fronts that we fought on, we broke through those lines, and that's what the arrow indicates.
And when you were overseas, I'm assuming you were in France. In what part of France?
Ask question.
I get it right, go ahead.
Okay, we got on the boat in February of 1918 and landed in Brest, France, and then from there we went by train to the 10th French training area. But later on, we were then sent to Château-Thierry to support the Marines and the 26th Division, who took over the Marines' position at Château-Thierry. Then, of course, we went to Soissons area and Juvigny, and then later on we went to the Argonne Woods, and we finally got the enemy out of their dugouts, and then we recouped our group again, the 32nd Division, and went back into the line and start pushing again. At the time armistice was signed, we were in a town called Dun-sur-Meuse, where City Dun is on a Meuse River. At that time, that was in early November, and we continued on, and at that time we were told that armistice was going to be signed November 7th, but instead it was signed on November 11th.
after the armistice.
Yeah. After the armistice was assigned, we were assigned as the troops to cross the Rhine River. There was three divisions, the 32nd, the 1st, and the 2nd. And in the Army of Occupation, we were the only three divisions that were on the other side of the Rhine River. Our headquarters was at Dusseldorf, and we were in a city called, a little village called Slain. It's near Ehrenbreitstein, a short distance also from Koblenz, Germany. We, after serving 3 months there, we then went back to Brest by train and sailed home. We were on a battleship, USS Virginia, that brought us to Newport News in Virginia. And then from there, by train, we went to camp to Sheridan in Illinois and were separated from there and came on back to Milwaukee. And of course, the next day we had our Memorial Day parade in Milwaukee, and I participated in that parade at that time. And I've been trying to participate in that parade ever since that time. The parade was a very long one. We started at 35th in Wisconsin and ended up at the Northwestern Depot, which was at the foot of Wisconsin Avenue. As you know, when we got home, we soon found out that some of our newspaper people that were covering the war were looking in the files of the Stars and Stripes and some of the other newspapers, and they found a poem written by a Canadian physician who was serving his mother country, England, in Belgium, in the province of Flanders. And at that time, the good doctor was on constant duty there. And that was the first time that the gas was used on the by the enemy. And he contracted pneumonia and he had died a year later. However, the poem was written, but he never was published in the newspaper, or much was said about it. We were War One veterans after it was published, discovered that, and put that as part of our ritual at the opening and closing of our meetings and so forth. And at this time, I'd like to recite Flanders Fields for you as it was written originally, and America's answer to those who made the supreme sacrifice in Flanders Fields. The poem is very, very meaningful. It has, it can be applied to all veterans of all wars in any part of the world that it is being fought by just substituting a word or two here and there. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarcely heard mid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset go, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break fate with us who die, we shall not sleep, though the poppies grow in Flanders Fields. America's answer to those who made the supreme sacrifice is as follows. Rest ye in peace, ye Flanders dead, the fight that ye so bravely led. We've taken up and we will keep true fate with you who lie asleep in Flanders Fields. With each across to mark your bed, and puppies blowing overhead. For once, your lifeblood ran red. So let your rest be sweet and deep in Flanders fields. Fear not that you have died for naught. The torch you threw to us, we caught. Millions of hands are holding it high, and freedom's light shall never die, for we've learned the lesson that ye taught in Flanders fields. Your torch and poppy red we now wear in honor of our dead. Your flaming torch aloft we bear with a burning heart, an oath we swear to keep the faith, to fight it through, to crush the foe, or sleep with you in Flanders fields. Thank you.